What a dilemma.
Isn't it?
What a dilemma to be placed in.
Yes.
When really you wish to speak to me and all your dear friends and relations gather around you.
Yes.
Anxious for you to know of their presence.
Yes. It isn't that I don't want to hear them, Brother John, but...
Oh, I know exactly, and I'm sure they will understand. I think that the whole point is that there's been this passing.
Yes.
And I think that they've all brought back, come back together, being this Herbert or
yes.
Herbie,
right.
To let you know and to let his wife know that he's well and happy.
Well, I've thought about it a lot.
Has he been here about a year?
Yes, that's right.
I gather that he's been here roughly about a year, and they just wish you to know that they've met him and are caring for him and that all is well, and his widow could be helped a great deal. By the way, I don't normally do this sort of thing, so you must forgive me, passing on messages. But is she in the throes of trying to make up her mind about something very important?
Well, I should imagine so, because both her sons have moved away and she's all on her own.
Well, I think there's something going on, according to what I'm told, where she's contemplating the thought of moving.
I should be surprised.
And I think that the husband is very interested in this project and is endeavouring to help her in regard to this. Would she have a bungalow?
No, she's got a house.
Only I think she's going to move into a bungalow. There's been some discussion or talking about a bungalow.
Oh.
Anyway, this is not my...
Province.
I'm
going to see her soon, so I should...
Well, if you can help her, do.
Yes, I do try.
Bless you.
And I always feel, Brother John, that talking to you can help so many people. Whereas if I talk to my loved ones, they only help me.
Well, this is true. I suppose it is human and natural that most people coming into this truth, beginning to feel their way, searching, obviously they must have in the first instance some proof, some realization that life continues, that death is not the end. And therefore, it is human and natural they should wish to contact their dear ones.
Yes, of course.
But many, I regret to say, are not prepared to go any further, or to dig, as it were, any deeper, for these truths underlying these things. The realization of the spirit, the possibility of what can be done and what can be achieved by this power while yet upon earth. Not necessarily as an instrument in the sense of being a medium, though naturally we need more instruments, we need more mediums, but if only people could realize the power of the spirit within themselves, if they could be made to realize and understand what could be done, what could be achieved by the unfolding of these things of which we speak. Most people, as you know, I regret to say, in this subject, in spiritualism, as you term it, are quite prepared to scratch the surface and not to dig very deeply at all.
So I did have one lady come on Sunday night, and she said she hadn't been for a long time, and she was very glad she came. So that was rewarding.
Yes, child. The rapport between us is very strong.
Good.
Sometimes when you stand on the pulpit, in the pulpit, on the platform, I am immediately behind you.
Oh, I always think of you there.
And impressing you, inspiring you. Sometimes, of course, we have to curtail much that we would wish to say because of time. There is this subconscious realization, I suppose, within yourself, which you pick up and receive sometimes from the audience and sometimes from the person who is chairing, as you term it, that the address should not last perhaps longer than 20 minutes.
I generally think about 20 minutes.
You know, and in consequence, often we are curtailed or held back as to the time.
Yes.
Often when we, as it were, are full of the desire to elucidate or to give a clearer picture concerning many aspects of our lives here and our worlds, we realize that we can only say so much in the limited time. We realize that many of the peoples present are waiting patiently, and sometimes not so patiently, for the messages.
Yeah. Must be frustrating for you, really.
Well, you know, my dear, when we are, as it, you would perhaps say, worked up, or perhaps shall we say, when we have reached a certain point, we realize there is so much that we want to enlarge upon, we want to discuss, we want to talk about, and sometimes even we feel it would be a wonderful thing if we could talk for, say, 20 minutes, and then throw the meeting open to questions.
Yes.
Rather than even give the clairvoyance or the messages, we often feel that this in some ways would be a much more useful thing to do, more helpful, more uplifting.
Yes.
But of course, very rarely would such an occasion arise. I suppose most of the societies and the churches that you attend wouldn't even entertain the idea of spending the whole evening for us to discuss various aspects of the spirit and also giving opportunity to members of the audience to ask us questions.
Yes. I can understand it wouldn't be interesting, but I want to ask you a question.
What is that, child?
This weekend when I was at Ipswich, somebody asked me, or said, that you lived in a thought world. Well, I said, I can't read that. And they said you couldn't talk if you wanted to, and I've always thought you could.
We live in a thought world, and we cannot talk even if we wanted to.
Can't you?
That is the question.
Yes, that's the question, yes.
Well, frankly, there's some truth in it, and yet, of course, it's not completely so. You see, when we in this world communicate, when we have developed ourselves, when we have become accustomed to the conditions of life here, when we understand the laws that govern us and govern the universe of the spirit, if I can so call it, then, of course, we can and we do communicate purely on a mental level. It is not necessary to enunciate words or to vibrate the atmosphere so that our thoughts can be heard in a sound way of sense.
Mm.
But it doesn't alter the fact that we can and we do at times. If, for instance, if I were to enter into a different, entirely different vibration, if I were to enter into a state of being to which I was not familiar, it would be necessary, because often, indeed, it would not be possible for people to receive my thoughts. I'd have to enunciate words, I'd have to vibrate the atmosphere. They would hear what I was saying, very much as you would do on Earth. When we go into spheres lower or lesser than our own, when we are on unfamiliar ground, as it were, when we are having to endeavour to transmit our message, then quite often we have to come down to a lower level, and in consequence we do create sound, we do enunciate words, etc., to make clear our thoughts.
Why do you say create sound, enunciate words, when you don't use the word speak? This is my mind working.
Speak. Well, what is speech? What is speaking? As I understand it, when a person speaks, their thoughts are activating their vocal organs. Their vocal organs are responding.
Have you got
vocal organs?
They're
vibrating the atmosphere. They're creating sound.
Yes.
And their thoughts are heard audibly.
Yes.
We do have a replica of the vocal organs necessary for speech. But you see, we don't necessarily have to use them.
No.
Only when we are on certain conditions or vibrations of life. If I come to you, it's a transmission of my thought via the artificially produced larynx. But the whole point is that I think there's a lot of confusion in the minds of people being enabled to make contact or communicate.
Mm-hmm.
To us it is a natural thing, although in a sense, from the point of view of the recipient of the message or the person in the environment to which we're endeavouring to make a contact, it would seem perhaps artificial. There are many layers of thought, there are many layers of which, well, I suppose most people on earth have little or no knowledge. There are many complexities where words in themselves cannot depict or describe.
No.
This is the big problem, I think.
Well, thank you very much. I've got quite a few questions, really. One lady, she said she'd been brought up a strict Roman Catholic, and she wondered what she would make of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I tried to explain to her what I felt was the truth.
Well, this is merely a term. It has no real factual basis.
No, that's what I said.
I mean, the whole point is that all life is an awareness. If you cease to be aware, you cease to exist. In other words, if you cease to think, if you cease to be conscious or aware of peoples or circumstances or happenings, whatever it may be, if you were unconscious, you see, a lot of people have this idea that when you die, you cease to have any consciousness. Well, of course, in that sense, if it were so, you would not exist, because you cannot exist without consciousness. And when people talk loosely and glibly, as they oftentimes do, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, do I often wonder if they really know what they're talking about?
Yes.
We all know that we are activated by a force or a power which we cannot put into words, which is the very essence of life. And you may give a name to this or that people have created over untold centuries of time, ideas or ideals, if you like, concerning God or gods. They have called God Jehovah, they've called him God, they've called him all sorts of names, but these are merely words. They have no real bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Man has always felt that there must be something outside of himself. There must be something beyond the so-called grave. The whole point is that there are many forms, if you like, of religion, purely on a material basis. But there are very few, if any, real forms of religion here. When a person comes over here in the first instance, it may well be they carry over their thoughts, as indeed they do, in a particular religious sense. If a person has been a Mohammedan or a Christian or whatever, that person doesn't suddenly change, doesn't suddenly lose interest or lose faith or belief in his particular brand, if I can use it, of religious background. But these things are merely man-made, they're expressions, they're terms, which soon are discarded. As you evolve here, as you progress here, as you become more conscious, more aware of the power of the spirit that animates all life, then you stop thinking in a sense, this old-fashioned way of gods and goddesses, or of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the universal spirit manifesting through all peoples of all nationalities, of all religions.
Mm.
It's all the same basic power, the basic truth, the basic reality. And man gives it a name or many names. But over here we recognize the reality of the power of the living spirit that manifests itself throughout all life, irrespective of individuals or background or creed or religion, and it's the same animating force that animates the natural world and the animal kingdom. You know, people have this strange idea that the man is superior in a sense that may well be, but it does not alter the fact that what animates the human being, that gives it life, gives him life, animates the tree and the blossom, animates the flowers that grow in the garden, animates the cat and the dog. And to deny the reality of this force is being very foolish.
Yes.
That's why our world, in some respects, is a replica of your world.
Mm.
All that is good, all that is beautiful, all that has meaning, that has bearing, that has importance, that gives joy and happiness and magic and colour, you might say, to life, exists here, rarefied, it is true, without any of the imperfections that may be manifest, indeed are oftentimes manifest materially but on earth. But it would be wrong for man to assume that he is the only creature that lives after death.
Yes. Can I go back? We were talking about Herbert. When he was on earth, he was not a happy man. He had no religion. And now, they said just now that he was happy, and I'm very glad, because I thought sent out a lot of thoughts for him when he passed.
Well, you know, this brings up an interesting point. I can't speak so much for our friend in particular, because until this moment I have not been in contact or communication. I have not known of his existence, you might say. But it is true to say that often the person who makes the most advance over here, if I can use the expression in time, is the person who has no strong preconceived notions and ideas, because often the preconceived notion, the preconceived idea, particularly on the religious level, often is a hindrance and a barrier. If a person comes here with very firm, fixed ideas that their particular aspect of religion is the truth and the only religion of any real consequence, the only true religion, often they have to unburn. They have to, as it were, throw off from themselves a lot of the things which have chained them. You see, the most, as I see it now, I would not have seen it when I was on your side, but as I see it now, the man who can make the most progress in every sense surely is the man whose mind is free to receive knowledge. He may not necessarily always be able to accept certain things, and he may to some extent discard certain theories or ideas, but when the mind is pliable, when the mind is open to receive, when it is not cluttered with strong, firm, fixed ideas, then this person is the one who obviously will, as it were, take unto himself the realization of these things much more quickly. Mm-hmm. You see, we have thousands, untold thousands of souls here who live in an environment which they have created by their attitude of mind and thought, where they live in a certain, to a certain extent, as they might well have done when on earth, holding their religious meetings, holding conventions, you might say, where they gather together in thousands, and a lot of them really believe that they are elect, that they are some very special people, and that one day they will be reborn, for instance, upon
earth. Yes, you told me about that.
You see, these people, well, in spite of the fact they realize they are dead, as the world terms it, still cling to the old way of thought and life, and they really honestly, deeply believe that they are specially selected to re-enter the earth field eventually, and to be reborn and live in a world which is to be the kingdom of God upon earth. You see, these are the things which create havoc in people.
You've just made me ask another question, Brother John. You said that you had no idea of Herbert's existence, and yet I thought in myself that when I send out thoughts for people, you would be aware of it.
Not necessarily.
Oh.
Not necessarily. Because
I'm giving you
see,
too much.
No, you're not doing. No, no, no. What I would like to clarify here is, it is true, of course, that someone like unto myself, who's very much caught up or involved with a person or an instrument, we are very conscious of many aspects of their thoughts. But in regard to relationships as such, not necessarily so. My work with you is purely on a mental and a spiritual level. I am not particularly myself concerned with proving survival or linking up relations as such between the two worlds. I do not hold on to or register, if you like, many things which you might think, and other people might think, I should do.
Mm-hmm.
Our work is purely on a mental level, far removed from material things. Mm-hmm. There are other souls, as you know, who have in the background, who are much more aware of your material needs, or shall I say, the material aspect of communication, or the passing on of messages from relations or friends. My work with you has always been, and always will be, on a level which is, if I may say so, far removed from the contact of the normal relationship.
I just want to understand, that's all.
Yes, well, I mean, I have never myself mentally registered, and certainly have not, in a sense, perhaps been interested in any of your relations as such. They are, I'm sure, very well and happy and are progressing. It's only that today, if for some reason. Maybe it's because of Mickey, whose job it is to link up people like that, that I became aware and also was in touch with, temporarily, these people, the relation in particular. And was able to receive mentally from him and from those who are working around and about you, other than myself, whose task it is to help in this way, that I was able to do that temporarily. I'm not concerned with proving survival.
No.
I'm not concerned with personal relationships.
There's so much I want to understand.
My dear girl, if you were to go on as platform and left it to me to give evidence of survival and messages from Aunt Mary or Jane, I don't think I should do very well.
No.
But there are others who are expert, who are very good at it.
Of course.
My task with you is of an elevated nature of the mind and of the spirit, of bringing forth the teachings and the realization of these truths that are the fundamental truths affecting all humanity. I am concerned with raising people up from the material onto a level of consciousness whereby they can be in tune and mentally caught up with the power of the spirit, so that their lives may be changed accordingly.
Yes. Thank you.
Other work is important, vitally important, but it is not my work.
No, I understand that. But I do want to be intelligent, you know.
Well, what makes you think you're not intelligent?
Well, there's lots of things I don't... I'd like to know how it works.
Well, there are many things that we cannot explain, because there is no way of explaining. There are many aspects of our life which we could find no word or words to utter that would depict or describe it.
No.
The most that we can ever hope to do, I suppose, is to bring it down to a certain level so that it could be understood and appreciated. But even then, in the translation of it, in the transmitting of it, a great deal obviously must be lost.
Yes, of course.
I mean, I talk to you, I've spoken to people through you, and I've given various indications of the spirit and the power of the spirit and what life is like in the spirit and so on. But to some extent, a great deal, unfortunately, cannot be depicted or described. There's no language, there's no way which it could be described.
It's those sort of things that you sort of inherently know, then you couldn't tell anybody.
You see, this is a point which people don't realize, I think, even those who should, and that we who come to do a specific work, to teach, to uplift, to guide spiritually, I suppose in a kind of way, not that we're completely unconscious of the needs, material needs of people, or that we're unconscious of the surrounding entities that come to you from our side, who've come with a message of love and affection because they were related or very closely tied with you and on earth. It isn't that we're unaware of that business, but there are those who specialize.
Yes, of course.
Those whose task it is to work on a certain level. And believe me, I would like to clarify another point. I think it is very important that the people should realize that some of the people who appear to be on what some people would call a lower vibration or more material vibration are such persons as you may well call controls or even guides who come through and give the evidence or give the message which often seems of a material nature, it would be very wrong to assume that they are not themselves more highly evolved. Believe me, they oftentimes are, and they often make great sacrifices to come down and work with a medium on that level of consciousness, which is much more of a material one because of the kind of work they do. Often they, indeed, have made tremendous sacrifice to work on that level, which sometimes for them must be no doubt very unpleasant even, and sometimes uncomfortable. And because the more highly evolved you become, the more difficult it is in a sense to assimilate the earthly vibration and the earthly condition, or to be as it were in tune with it. But if you are giving up, as some of these souls do, a great deal of their personal lives here on a much higher level of consciousness and evolution, that they should choose to work on the low vibration or more material condition of vibration, to work and to help and to uplift and to often pass on what seem and perhaps even indeed are mundane messages, But they are wonderful individuals inasmuch as they are, to some extent, allowing themselves to be used in that direction instead of being selfish and making progress for themselves in a spiritual sense in a more elevated way. Often, you know, they give up a great deal to serve humanity.
Yes, of course.
And we should realize and we should be grateful to them that they're prepared to do this.
Yes.
Of course, it is also true to say that he who gives himself in love and in service is making really much more spiritual progress than perhaps it may seem on the surface. Often the person who, like this Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan who stops by the wayside to help the less fortunate, to comfort them and succor them and to give them strength and encouragement and to feed them and to heal their wounds, he who it seems, perhaps in the material sense on the surface, is halting his own progress, is indeed, without perhaps even realizing, and indeed one should not even think that one is sacrificing oneself, nevertheless one is making greater progress
mm-hmm.
than the person who rides by thinking only of self. We must try to see these things in their true perspective.
Yes, of course.
Everyone serves according to his light. Some serve, or so it seems, serve in a more flamboyant way. Perhaps they in their work are more accepted, or so it seems, or perhaps they are more popular. Perhaps it may well be that as instruments they are much more sought after. Maybe it seems that they are chosen to do, as indeed they oftentimes are, to do a specific work of a much more, shall we say, a notorious nature, which seems to many to be much more vital. But it isn't necessarily so. Everyone serves, and everyone in his own light helps, guides, uplifts, inspires. Some work in the highways, others work in the byways. Some take the what appears to be the main course or the main road and seem to travel far, and others take the little backwaters, little backside turnings. But often that is where most of the work is done that is of real value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people do not understand this. But often I think people seek the highway. They seek the main street where all the lights and all the activity seems to be aglow. But it is often in the little quiet back streets, often where the needs are greatest, where the poverty is most, where the stress and the strain is telling more upon the individual. It is often there the need is most needed.
Tomorrow I'm going to a new one, and I hope I shall be greatly helped.
You will be helped, my child.
Thank you.
Can be well assured that
yes.
You will always be helped. You will never, never, never be bereft of the power of the Spirit.
I'm sure of that.
And we shall never, never, ever be away when you need us.
I'm sure
of course, there may be times when perhaps for some reason or other the conditions are not very conducive to linking up.
Then
we
I
do
say,
not anticipate we shall always be able to do exactly as we would wish, but we do the best under the circumstances.
I say, Brother John Scarlett, when it's like that.
You do?
Yes.
Well, bless you. I do my best, you do yours.
I'm sure.
And our combination of effort over many years has comforted and uplifted many.
Mm-hmm.
This is our task, this is our work, that we should serve God and His children. And the power of the Spirit shall be manifest wherever you go, child.
Thank you.
You know this.
Yes.
Anyway, I must go. My love, my blessing, my peace be with you and all. Hear the voice of the Spirit.
Thank you, dear.
Farewell, child.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Nicky.
You do ask questions.
I do. And do tell all my dear ones. I do love them.
Oh, they understand.
Do
it
they?
Was just that they wanted you to know about Herbie.
Yes, well, I'm
because
never so
he's been
know,
a bit of,
dear.
You know, she's made very good progress.
I'm never so pleased.
Anyway, perhaps his wife will come round one day.
I hope so.
Although there seems to be a lot of talk about her uprooting herself.
Well, I must find out about
bye-bye.
That.
Bye-bye.
Go and see her soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.